Well, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of great people all across the U.S. in this job at the USPTO. I meet Americans who are creating great ideas. And if there's any narrative out there that America has faltered, or that innovation isn't alive and well, or that this isn't the land of opportunity, I'll tell you what, there are millions of Americans and Americans by the thousands that I've met in all of those places and more who haven't gotten that memo. Americans who still believe, and they are right to believe, that our best days are ahead of us. And as an example, I think of the American that I met a while ago when I was in Burlington, Vermont, up there helping Senator Patrick Leahy. And after the event, a Vermonter wearing bib overalls and a checkered flannel shirt came up to me and showed me a picture. And it was one of those pictures where the picture truly does represent at least 1,000 words, probably more than 1,000 words. And this man, I don't know if he graduated from high school, I don't know if he graduated from college. He didn't say much, but he didn't have to say much, because his picture impressed me immediately as an engineer, as a stunningly wonderful invention. He had created a way to solve the age-old problem that you have in northern New England, which is rocky soil and the requirement of sifting the rocks out of soil in order to make use of it in that part of the country. And the invention was immediately apparent to be, frankly, anachronistic. In fact, if you just looked at it and didn't understand the physics, you would conclude, well, this can't possibly work. It was giant metal tines like forks interleaving with one another to sift soil, powered by a tiny, what's called two-stroke engine, the kind of engine that's used on a leaf blower that someone would carry around on their back. The magic in the invention was to take advantage of the harmonics of these tines interleaving with one another and get them to a state of momentum. And the reason I tell that story is because it's an example of the fact that Americans everywhere are still creating great inventions, even in areas that you would think were all invented out, perhaps hundreds of years ago. Nothing's invented out, it turns out. The invention system, if you will, is accessible to everyone. You don't have to be a PhD. You don't even have to have a college degree. All you have to have is a great idea and the moxie, like this person did, to build it. And you can be an American innovator, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter whether you're a girl or a boy or a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Religion, race, ethnicity. We are totally blind to all of those things. All we look at is quality of innovation, and I see from going all over the country, this particular person is one of many examples that innovation is alive and well, and Americans of all makes, models, and stripes are creating great inventions everywhere in our country. Steve Jobs is really an example of a remarkable American innovator, and in my mind, it's not because of any one single invention that Steve Jobs made. He was named on some design patents, some invention patents, and had many, many trademarks registered in his name. They're still actually out there, and there are many of his patents that are still valid and in force. What is, to me, the most remarkable about Steve Jobs is not any one of them, or even the total number of them, but the breadth of them. If you look at his innovation, it spans everything from the design, the look and feel of a product, to internal code algorithms, even some of the system architectures that make the products up at the most scientific of levels. So it's really, when you think about Steve Jobs and innovation, You know, you have to think about drive, you have to think about determination, you have to think about never being satisfied with the status quo, but you also have to think about breadth and the ability to span a huge range of innovative thinking.